Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Please do follow us at InfoWars at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. And please do share the links and get this information out, as I plan to cover just a ton of stuff that you're not going to see anywhere else on today's show. I'll be with you for the first 2 hours. Mike Adams will be taking over in the third hour. And then we've got some great guest hosts for the fourth hour as well. Remember to support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. The news is so crazy these days. I can't even explain to you as I'm doing my news gathering. There are entire like swaths, whole topics of discussion that's easy just to completely forget about. Could spend the entire show just talking about the very mysterious and coincidental rise in explosions and fires at oil refineries or food production plants the world over, starting about the time that we went to war in Iran. The latest is that Australia's top fertilizer input plant is now shut down for 2 months. The Yara plant shut down comes as a quarter of global ammonia trade for urea fertilizer and explosives is blocked. Australia's largest ammonia plant will be shut for 2 months to repair damage caused by a power outage amidst a global supply crunch for the vital fertilizer and explosives ingredient. And so Australia, of course, has been one of the hardest hit by the lockdown or the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz in the Iran war. And just at a time when they need every, you know, ounce of fertilizer they can get, they have some sort of power outage that shuts down their most productive fertilizer plant for 2 whole months. There's also another refinery explosion in Australia yesterday. It's been a lot, and I could spend the entire show on that. But it's the type of thing that I'm looking at the Iran war, and that stuff fades out until suddenly it's like, oh, right, no, that's happening at an incredibly suspicious rate. Then you have stuff like this that no one's even talked about. I've seen mentioned one time on Twitter, so I went ahead and researched it. IU biology researcher pleads guilty to smuggling E. coli DNA from China concealed in clothing shipment. So yeah, it turns out another Chinese student was caught smuggling a pathogen into this country, gone totally unreported, totally unremarked, especially in context of Donald Trump welcoming 600,000 Chinese students as part of the trade deal with China. In exchange for getting them to give TikTok to Israel, we get to take 600,000 students, any one of which is a suspect, as far as I'm concerned, for bringing in biological material, which seems to happen on a pretty regular basis. Again, kind of a big deal. Like, what are we doing here exactly? The ones that were found by the Chinese students last year in the Chinese students' possession were like wheat blights that could wipe out our entire agriculture industry. E. coli is a dangerous pathogen. This isn't like some dude getting caught with a knife on an airplane. This is terrorists being caught with biological weapons. What are we doing exactly? Why is this just being treated so casually? This is from April 10th. It was like nearly a week ago. I haven't seen anybody talk about it once. In Indianapolis, Yu Huang Zhang, 32, formerly a postdoctoral researcher at Indiana University and a citizen of the People's Republic of China, has been sentenced to more than 4 months in prison, a $500 fine, and 1 year of supervised release after pleading guilty to smuggling biologic material into the United States from China. As part of Zhang's plea agreement with the government, Zhang also stipulated the entry of a judicial order of removal, which will result in his immediate removal from the United States to the People's Republic of China. He holds a PhD from the Chinese Academy of Sciences. He applied for and received a U.S. non-immigrant student visa to perform postdoctoral research. According to court documents, in November 2025, the FBI's Indianapolis division began investigating suspicious shipments from China to individuals affiliated with Indiana University. During the investigation, FBI agents determined that Zhang had received a suspicious shipment from China at his Bloomington, Indiana residence in March 2024. The package in question originated from Guangzhou Sci-Fi Innovation Trading, and the shipping manifest declared that the package contained underwear of man-made fibers, other women's. Okay, Investigators found it unusual that Zhang was purchasing and shipping women's underwear from China, especially from a company focused on science and technological innovation. Okay, so if they'd been just like slightly more concerned with OPSEC, so like just instead of saying women's underwear, they'd written men's underwear, we would have never discovered this. We would have never looked into this. It was only because they're so unconcerned about being caught, they're so lackadaisical or casual about the, you know, cover story. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. Say it's like women's underwear or something. And the FBI just happens to be like, well, that's kind of strange. Let's look into it. Oh, look, it looks like they're smuggling E. coli into the country under the guise of sending clothes. But if they'd been just like, instead of women's underwear, just say Pokemon cards. Just write Pokemon cards on the manifest instead. And the FBI would have been like, yep, Chinese student buying Pokemon cards, checks out, and just would have moved on. And God only knows what would have happened then or what else is happening around the country right now. Who's to say? Hundreds of thousands of Chinese students, any one of which could be smuggling biological material. It's not like we can watch all of them. So we're being set up for total and unrelenting failure. And again, this is just like one story out of 10,000. They just go totally unremarked because there's so much other insanity going on. But there you go. At least we caught that guy. Good job, FBI. Good job, us. Way to go. Let's just stop letting in hundreds of thousands of hostile foreigners into our country. Could we do that, please? We're not doing that. In fact, we are being betrayed by the Republican Party, who have now voted to allow Haitians to remain forever because apparently we have to. We'll get back into that story in just a little bit. But again, it's like, I don't even know. We'll keep going with the Lebanese ceasefire since that's the big breaking story here. But I'm telling you, there is so much news, I'm having trouble figuring out where to even take it. But as reported in the first 5 minutes, Donald Trump has announced a 10-day ceasefire between Lebanon and Israel. The two leaders of these countries have agreed in order to achieve peace. They will formally begin a 10-day ceasefire at 5 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesday, the two countries met for the first time in 34 years here in D.C. with our great Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I've directed J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Rubio, together with Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff Dan Raisin-Cain, to work with Israel and Lebanon to achieve a lasting peace. It's been my honor to solve 9 wars across the world, and this will be my 10th. So let's get it done, President Donald J. Trump. Quick rule here. Quick rule change for you. You don't get to take credit for stopping wars that you started. Okay? Theoretically, you claim that Israel and Lebanon wasn't a war started by Trump, but when you're arming one side, when you're starting a war with Iran to facilitate that war, I'm not so sure this is the feather in your cap that you think it is. And we'll see if it lasts. And of course, we'll see what Israel does with a couple hours of time to bomb as many people as they possibly can. I can't think of another reason why it'd be delayed until 5 p.m., Looks like there was another Truth Social post the crew just put up there. I don't know if y'all can throw that back up. It's an addition. So Trump says, in addition to the statement just issued, I will be inviting the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, and the President of Lebanon, Joseph Ayoun, to the White House for the first meaningful talks between Israel and Lebanon since 1983, a very long time. Both sides want to see peace, and I believe that will happen quickly. President Donald J. Trump. Kinda. I mean, one side wants peace. I mean, you're half right. You're halfway there. The other side wants to ethnically cleanse Lebanon as they wanted to for decades and are just brutally and systematically abolishing all life in the bottom quarter of the Lebanese landmass. So I don't know if both sides do want peace. I don't think they actually do. And again, the complicated thing about this will be if Hezbollah decides to honor it, or if Israel decides that, well, we can still keep bombing Lebanon, it's just we're bombing Hezbollah targets. So as long as we claim that somebody in the vicinity of the bomb was almost certainly Hezbollah, then, you know, we're not breaking the ceasefire. We're just targeting the terrorists that we're both enemies with, right? They would say to Lebanon. But of course, I don't believe it. I don't trust it. I don't buy it. But that's just me. I mean, like I said, unless Trump is actually taking Joe Kent's advice and restraining Israel, but I don't know if that's totally possible. From Alan Fisher, Lebanon ceasefire announced after Ayoun refused call with Netanyahu. Interesting. The Lebanese president had refused to get on the phone with Israeli's prime minister without a ceasefire. So it appears that a deal was agreed on both sides and Trump decided to announce that. In a matter of hours, there should be a ceasefire in southern Lebanon, which Trump said he successfully brokered. It's clear that there have been talks in the Oval Office with both sides that have led to this announcement. What they're aiming for is to take it one step at a time. This is the first step, but clearly Ayoun felt that his call with Rubio, said that in his call with Rubio, he was not ready to entertain the possibility of a phone call to Netanyahu without a ceasefire in place. Interesting. All right. So, you know, it looks like some pressure being applied to Netanyahu. Of course, Netanyahu's an increasingly tenuous political position. But of course, when they say both sides want peace, that's undercut just a bit by the extremely aggressive and not very peaceful statements from the likes of Benjamin Netanyahu and others. Let's go to clip number 29 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu talking about a ceasefire with Lebanon and sort of dismissing the whole thing. Let's watch.
So
he says, we have to stand firm. At the same time, our forces continue to strike Hezbollah. The fighting is focused on Bint Jabil. Bint Jabil was the capital of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. This is the place where Hassan Nasrallah said 26 years ago, Israel is weaker than a spider web. We are about to take control of Bint Jabil. We are essentially about to eliminate the major Hezbollah stronghold. At the same time, yesterday I gave instructions to the IDF to continue reinforcing the security zone and also to extend it eastward to the slopes of Mount Hermon so that we can better assist our Druze brothers in times of distress. At the same time, we are conducting negotiations with Lebanon. These negotiations have not taken place over 40 years. They're happening now because we are very strong and nations are coming to us and not just Lebanon in the negotiations with Lebanon. There are two main objectives. First, the dismantling of Hezbollah, and second, a sustainable peace, peace through strength. And there is one more thing, of course. Our American friends are constantly updating us on their engagements with Iran. Our goals and those of the United States are aligned. We want to see enriched material removed from Iran. We want to see the cancellation of enrichment capabilities within Iran. And, of course, we want to see the opening of the straits. It is too early to say how this will end or even how it will progress. Therefore, in the event that fighting resumes, we are prepared for any scenario. Pentagon approaches. Yeah, so this is another story from yesterday. Pentagon approaches the automakers, manufacturers to boost weapons production. They're talking to GM, Ford, and others about shifting some capacity. So, again, it's like you look at what's being said, and it's like ceasefire. Yesterday, Trump's coming out saying, yeah, the war with Iran's like almost over. Meanwhile, massive amounts of troop movement into the Middle East, just huge air, you know, shipments, just military planes in an endless parade into the Middle East. As of today or yesterday, the last American-occupied base in Syria has now been handed over to the Syrian army. All of the American forces have left that base, remaining in the Middle East, preparing for perhaps a new mission of some sort. We're apparently reorganizing our entire industrial base to serve weapons manufacturers and war industries. Yeah, I don't think this is over. I don't think it's going to be over anytime soon. I think this is actually World War III. I think they intend for this to be World War III, and it doesn't matter if you don't want it. It doesn't matter if it's bad for the world. It doesn't matter. They're doing it. They're doing it because they want to do it and because you won't stop them. So you can ask them, they'll ignore you. You can beg them, they'll laugh at you. You can protest, and they'll maybe pretend to listen out, you know, to your complaints. And they may even commiserate with you and have empathy and say, look, I understand. But at the end of the day, we're doing this. We're going to World War III because it's our plan, because we've been preparing for this for literally centuries. And this is the culmination of a very long-held plan to establish a one-world government by first slaughtering all the free-thinking people in a gigantic, devastating war that's so bad that all of humanity simply begs for a savior that we will provide in the form of the Antichrist. Like, that's their plan. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do it. Like, we can stop, we can stand up to them, we can stop them, we can identify the people pushing us towards this and throw them in prison. Like, we could do that if we can identify and recognize this intelligence, this information that would inspire action. But until we can get that going, I guess we're just going to go to World War III. I guess we're just going to let them take us to World War III, that is. And the way they talk about this is so sort of offensive and in your face. Wondering how far to go with this. Let's go to clip number 25 here, because this is Alan Dershowitz, well-known Epstein confidant. He was Epstein's lawyer. He did get massages from young women at Epstein's estates, but he kept his underwear on, according to him. So, you know, I mean, Alan Dershowitz, if there's one face you can trust, I mean, that's it. The man's practically a saint, as far as I'm concerned. Here he is talking to somebody about the way in which Israel and whatever this Jewish super government is that Alan Dershowitz is a key functionary of, how they plan on basically manipulating and handling Trump. And they're just saying this out in the open. It's completely insane. Let's watch.
The goals of the United States and Israel are different when it comes to Iran. And we see that in Lebanon, where Israel's feeling pressure from the president to tone down its attacks. And the truth is as much as you attack Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, they're still around. That's the problem. It's very hard to defeat them. But on the other hand, what other choices do we really have? That's really the dilemma.
We have to continue to fight. Hashem oz li'am o'yitein. We have to remember that the Jews get shalom only through oz. And so Bibi has to continue to fight, even if it means confrontation with President Trump. Leave that to Americans. We will take care of President Trump. You know, I met with him over Hanukkah, Let's just pause it real quick.
Let's just figure out what the hell he just said. So Alan Dershowitz, ostensibly an American, is sitting there going, look, the president of Israel has to continue fighting, even though they recognize, even though they're like, hey, look, we've done all this fighting. These groups still exist. We cannot defeat them by fighting, because the more we fight them, the more massacres we commit against innocent people, the more terrorists we create. So, I mean, they recognize, they know, they're like, we're in a system of endless fighting with no possible end. It's a feedback loop that we have created, that we continually generate energy into. And we're not, and there's no way out. There's no way to get off the tiger. You got to ride the tiger, right? And here's an American saying, yeah, you know, the president of Israel has to continue to wage war, even if it causes confrontation with the American president. In other words, even if it's bad for America, Alan Dershowitz is saying Benjamin Netanyahu should continue to fight, and you leave Donald Trump to us. We'll handle him. He literally said that. We'll handle Donald Trump. So here's a supposed American collaborating with a foreign power, saying you do what's right for the foreign power, even if it hurts America, we will handle the American president and allow America to be damaged for the sake of our real homeland, Israel. Okay, all of these people need to be deported or imprisoned or, like, jailed for treason. This is treason that they're openly discussing, like, bragging about. So let's back it up about 15 seconds. And just hear again, as Alan Dershowitz, Epstein confidant, old despicable pervert, talks about handling Trump. You leave that to us. The Jewish cabal surrounding and engulfing Donald Trump will handle him effectively so that Benjamin Netanyahu can wage a silent war against America and American interests as long as we keep Donald Trump firmly tied by our puppet strings. This is what he's saying, okay? If you don't like this, take it up with him. Let's watch.
We have to continue to fight. Hashem oz li'am o'yitein. We have to remember that the Jews get shalom only through oz. And so Bibi has to continue to fight, even if it means confrontation with President Trump. Leave that to Americans. We will take care of President Trump. You know, I met with him over Hanukkah, spent a half an hour or so with him in the Oval Office talking about Iran. He was very receptive. And I know that Miriam Adelson talks to him from time to time. I talk to other members of the administration from time to time. There's a lot of support for Israel within the administration, but You know, it's moderated by the fact that, as you say, America has a slightly different interest.
Do you hear what he just said? Do you understand what he just said? There's plenty of support for Israel and the American administration, but as you just said, you know, sometimes there's different. What he's saying is, yeah, everybody in the administration wants to do whatever we ask, whatever Israel asks, only they're constrained, they're hamstrung by the fact that what we want is bad for America. But they'll overcome that with their, you know, blackmail or, you know, whatever. I mean, is it a surprise now that the Epstein files didn't come out? They've got Alan Dershowitz's name all over it. He's probably the one they're protecting, amongst others. So this when you talk about the Epstein class, this is who we're talking about. We're talking about his literal best friends and lawyers who are still to this day surrounding Trump like a swarm of worm tongues, pouring poison into his ear and knowing deliberately, like knowing full well and explicitly that they are disadvantaging America for the sake of the country that they actually love. Oh, but if you say they have dual loyalty, you're an anti-Semite. And you need to have your life destroyed, and you should not be able to have jobs anymore, and you should be kicked off the internet, and you can't perform in England anymore, Kanye. So I found that to be one of the most amazing and despicable and hateful and like jaw-dropping videos I've ever seen of Alan Dershowitz admitting that he was encouraging Benjamin Netanyahu to do things that hurt America, but that he and Miriam Adelson and the rest of their elite Jewish billionaire Epstein, you know, friend group, the top eight on Epstein's MySpace, all get to, you know, surround Trump and convince him to allow Israel to hurt America. And, you know, he says, look, the problem with this, you know, there's a lot of people that want to do what's right for Israel. There's just this issue that they're supposed to be doing what's right for America, and this is just totally bad for America. So but we'll overcome that with trickery and rhetoric. Great. Well done. I think I've identified the problem. I think I've figured it out. It turns out there is just one source. Isn't that crazy? It's like people always say, it's like, well, the world's all complicated and you're just looking for a simple answer. That's why you like conspiracy theories. Or it's because it's literally all them. It could be one of the, like, I agree. It's one of these two things. Either it's just like convenient things. I'm as you may know, you may know this. I'm very low IQ. I need it simplified. I need it all very easy to understand. When you come in with all these complicated various influences and considerations that people have, give it to me simple. It's Alan Dershowitz and all of Epstein's best friends, isn't it? Is that it? I can understand that. I'm low IQ after all. So I need it very simply explained to me. Why? Why are we allowing Epstein's best friends to get us into war that they know is bad for America but good for Israel because that's their real homeland and loyalty? Why are we allowing these people to even exist in our country anymore? I don't know. I'm too low IQ. I can't figure it out. What could it possibly be?
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylenestore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.